Good morning and welcome. If you're a visitor for the first time, we're delighted to see you. Tea and coffee will be served in the Mayo Hall between our morning services. We thank Ken for leading this service and Sally, who will be leading the 11:30 service. And there will be a service here this evening at 6:30, which will be led by Maddie. So thank you to all of you. This afternoon, there are two events that tie together very neatly. Starting at 12:45 in the training room, there's a showing of the film The Shack. And you're welcome to bring your packed lunch to that if you haven't got time to nip out and eat something before the show starts. And then that will be followed by our community tea, which will start at 3 o'clock. And everyone is welcome. Pastoral news. There is no specific information to give, but please remember our church members and friends in your prayers. In keeping with building regulations, we're required to have a full electrical inspection of the building every 5 years, and this is for people who will be in the church perhaps on Monday and Tuesday, because this is when the engineers will be doing their inspection. And there will at some point be a shutdown of all the electricity, which could affect your computers or whatever you're using. But it's hoped that you will be given a warning, but it's just to warn you that you might not get a warning. And so be careful with your electrical appliances. That's all. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. We open our service by saying together the words of Psalm 34, as projected on the screen. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall ever be in my mouth. I will glory in the Lord. Let the humble hear and rejoice. Proclaim with me the greatness of the Lord. Let us exult in his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me out of all my terror. Look upon him and be radiant, and let not your faces be ashamed. We join to sing hymn 102, Praise the Lord, His Glory Show.
Thank you.
We join to pray using the words projected on the screen. We say together, Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires are known, in repentance and faith, receive the promise of grace and the assurance of pardon. Here are words you may trust, words that merit full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. To all who turn to him, he says, "Your sins are forgiven." He also says, "Follow me." Thanks be to God. We join in saying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Sally is going to give our children's talk.
Good morning. Today we are going to think a little bit about rules. We don't like rules. No, I don't much either. But already today I have had to obey certain rules. I'll give you an example, okay? I'm sure you can guess what this is. Well, I had to wake up at the right time, yeah. Because if I didn't come to work, I'd be in trouble. I'm not as good at colouring in as you are, as you can tell. Sort of this colour. I'll move in a minute. What's the next one? Easy. What do you think those are? Lights. What sort of light? Car lights? Have I got those on my car? What are they called? Begins with a T. Yes, traffic lights. When I drove in today, because I was lazy today, I could walk, and I do normally walk, but today I used the car. Okay, my little treat. I had to follow rules. There's lots of rules. When you learn to drive, you get given a whole book of rules called the Highway Code. And you're supposed to learn it, remember it, and actually keep it, obey all the rules, which I do, obviously. but these are traffic lights, and today I've had to follow the rules. When the traffic lights turned red, I had to stop my car. What happens when they turn... get ready to move off, and when it's time to go, they change to green. So that's one rule that I've had to keep, okay? You're practically a driver already. That's brilliant. What rules do you have to keep? Because I know you're not old enough yet to drive. You've got that joy to come. But what rules do you have to keep at school? Don't run. Oh my goodness. Don't run in the corridor. I can't write that quickly. Don't run in the corridor. Don't talk in assembly. I do assemblies and I know not all the children obey that rule. Don't go upstairs. What's upstairs? You're not allowed to go up there yet. Okay, don't go upstairs. You have to wear your hair up. Okay. You have to wear your hair up. Health and safety. Anything, Dahi? Don't shout in the classroom. Can you shout outside of the classroom? No. Don't shout, basically. Yeah. When you play, yeah, when you're playing, you can scream your hearts out. Brilliant. Any more? What about at home? There's a lot of things at school. What about home? Do you have to keep any rules at home? Don't jump on the TV. I thought you were going to say don't jump on the bed. I've heard of that one. Don't jump on the sofa. Yeah, that's. I think that's slightly more reasonable. Don't jump on the sofa. There are very good reasons for all these rules. Anything else? Yeah. Don't hit your little sister. Well, I think actually your mum and dad might say don't hit anyone. Don't hit anyone because that's not kind. And it's a bit dangerous. So don't hit anyone. Okay, one more, Dahi. Don't play with fire. That's a very good one. So lots of rules. And it's not just children that have rules. Because actually, some of these apply to adults as well. I mean, jumping on the sofa, it's not good when you're grown up either, really. I know because I've tried. Don't hit anyone. That's not really advisable. Which of these rules do you think is the most important? No, can't have all of them. You have to choose. Pick one. Which do you think? What do the grown-ups think? Which is the most important rule, do you think? Don't play with fire. Who thinks don't play with fire? Health and safety. Anyone else? Don't hit anyone. Who thinks don't hit anyone is the most important? Oh, lots more hands in the air for that. In your Bible story today, someone asks Jesus, what's the most important rule? And he gives them two rules, and you're going to find out what they are. Perhaps later on you can come back and tell us what he thought were the two most important rules. Okay? Don't guess now. Wait for the story. Right, we're going to collect some shoeboxes. So, and then we're going to pray about the people that are going to receive the shoeboxes. So now I know there's some grown-ups who've got shoeboxes as well. We've already got about, I sort of guesstimated, we've got about 40 already, which is good. So we'll get some more today, and I'm sure some people will bring some in during the week as well. So if you have a shoebox, please bring it forward now and place it on our lovely colourful pile. Thank you very much. So can we just put it on there and I'll sort it out afterwards, okay? Put it on here. Well done. That's it. Not too high. Make sure we can see Ken afterwards. He'll be poking his head over the top of the boxes. Brilliant. We'll stick that on afterwards. Right, now, do you know where these boxes are going? They're going to a charity called Link to Hope. And then they are going to other. They're not going to America, no? No. They're going to Bulgaria. They're going to the Ukraine. They're going to Romania. And they're going to Moldova. Have you heard of those countries?
Yes.
Where are they? In Europe. And the people that are going to get these gifts, they don't have very much. They live in very cold countries. And for them, they will be excited about getting a toothbrush, even. Would you be excited if you got a toothbrush for Christmas? No. But for them, they have very little. So for them, something like that is essential. And of course, they'll be even happier, I'm sure, when they open up the boxes and there's toys and gifts and games in there as well. So we're going to pray about the people that receive these. It's not just families and children, it's older people as well, people who are very lonely and isolated. So let's pray for the people who are going to receive these lovely gifts. Father, first of all, we offer these to you in worship. This is a continuation of the songs and the prayers that we've been singing already. This is part of our worship to you. And we thank you for all that you have blessed us with. Right down to the toothbrush in our bathrooms at home, which we just take for granted. We offer up these gifts to you now. We pray that you would really bless the people who are receiving them. Lord, put a smile on their face and hope in their hearts that they would know that they are loved, that they are thought about and cared for by us, and ultimately that they are seen and loved by you. Bless the distribution of these parcels. Bless the people who have packed them. Bless the people who deliver them. But ultimately, Lord, please bless the people who receive them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you very much, anyone who has prepared a box. I'm sure we'll get some more a bit later. We're going to go out whilst the grown-ups sing a hymn, the title of which I've forgotten. Sorry. The title of the hymn is Beyond the Mist and Doubt of This Uncertain Day. So. Oh.
I'm going to read the words.
Okay.
So, yeah. So far as I know, the hymn which we're going to sing next, we've not sung before in our church, but it's a wonderful poem, and it's been set very nicely with a tune by Carol Micklem. So I thought I'd read the words. They're very short. Beyond the mist and doubt of this uncertain day, I trust in your eternal name, beyond all changes still the same, and in that name I pray. Our restless intellect has all things in its shade, but still to you my spirit clings, serene beyond all shaken things, and I am not afraid. Still in humility, we know you by your grace. For science's remotest probe feels but the fringes of your robe. Love looks upon your face. We sing the hymn, Beyond the Mist of Doubt, of this uncertain day. The readings today have been chosen with a view to relating to the 500th celebration of Luther's statement in Wittenberg in Germany. And they've been chosen because they are about the free grace of God and about justification by faith alone. You don't have to work out your own salvation. So Stuart Chandler is going to read our first lesson.
This is Matthew 20, verses 1 to 15. The kingdom of heaven is like this. Once there was a man who went out early in the morning to hire some men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them the regular wage, a silver coin a day, and sent them to work in his vineyard. He went out again to the marketplace at 9 o'clock and saw some men standing there doing nothing. So he told them, "You also go and work in the vineyard, and I will pay you a fair wage." So they went. Then at 12 o'clock and again at 3 o'clock he did the same thing. It was nearly 5 o'clock when he went to the marketplace and saw some other men still standing there. "Why are you wasting the whole day here doing nothing?" he asked them. "No one hired us," they answered. "Well then, you also go and work in the vineyard," he told them. When evening came, the owner told his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, starting with those who were hired last and ending with those who were hired first." The men who had begun to work at 5 o'clock were paid a silver coin each. So when the men who were the first to be hired came to be paid, they thought they would get more, but they too were given a silver coin each. They took their money and started grumbling against the employer. "These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour," they said, "while we put up with a whole day's work in the hot sun. Yet you paid them the same as you paid us." "Listen, friend," the owner answered one of them, "I have not cheated you. After all, you agreed to do a day's work for 1 silver coin. Now take your pay and go home. I want to give this man who was hired last as much as I have given you. Don't I have the right to do as I wish with my own money? Or are you jealous because I am generous? Amen.
That was one of the several stories that Jesus told to say that the generosity of God was so great that some people find it offensive and unfair. The second reading comes from Romans, and it's going to be read by Maddie.
This reading is from Romans 3, verses 10 to 18 and verses 21 to 28. As the scriptures say, there is no one who is righteous, no one who is wise or who worships God. All have turned away from God. They have all gone wrong. No one does what is right, not even one. Their words are full of deadly deceit. Wicked lies roll off their tongues, and dangerous threats like snake's poison from their lips. Their speech is filled with bitter curses. They are quick to hurt and kill, and they leave ruin and destruction wherever they go. They have not known the path of peace, nor have they learnt reverence for God. But now God's way of putting people right with himself has been revealed. It has nothing to do with law, even though the law of Moses and the prophets gave their witness to it. God puts people right through their faith in Jesus Christ. God does this to all who believe in Christ, because there is no difference at all. Everyone has sinned and is far away from God's saving presence. But by the free gift of God's grace, all are put right with him through Christ Jesus, who sets them free. God offered him so that by his blood he should become the means by which people's sins are forgiven through their faith in him. God did this in order to demonstrate that he is righteous. In the past, he was patient and overlooked people's sins. But in the present time, he deals with their sins in order to demonstrate his righteousness. In this way, God shows that he himself is righteous and that he puts right everyone who believes in Jesus. What then can we boast about? Nothing. And what is the reason for this? Is it that we obey the law? No, but that we believe. For we conclude that a person is put right with God only through faith, and not by doing what the law commands. Amen.
In the summer of 1516, the Pope decided to rebuild St. Peter's Basilica in Rome. And in order to raise the money, he sent Johann Tetzel, a papal commissioner, to Germany. Tetzel was selling paper certificates called indulgences. People who bought them for themselves or on behalf of their loved ones would spend less time in purgatory and get to heaven quicker. Tetzel has a sales jingle. As soon as the coin in the coffer rings, the soul from purgatory into heaven's springs. Martin Luther, a monk living in Wittenberg, wrote to his archbishop with a scholarly objection to indulgences. 95 points written in the academic language Latin. He wrote that since forgiveness was God's alone to grant, those who claimed that indulgences absolved buyers from all punishments and granted them salvation were in error. Luther also asked, why does the Pope, whose wealth today is enormous, build a new basilica of St. Peter's with the money of poor believers rather than with his own money? He got no reply. So he drastically shortened his letter, translated it into German, and published it. Within 2 weeks, the document had spread right across Germany, and in 2 months, across the whole of Europe. Luther was astonished. I would never have thought that such a storm would arose from Rome over one simple scrap of paper. Within 5 years, Germany and Holland had rejected Rome and become Lutheran. Luther's ideas helped to generate civil war in England, and Pilgrim Fathers took the vision of religious freedom to America. How was it that all this happened so fast? Well, first, there was the power of Luther's arguments. Once the idea that Roman controlled access to heaven had been questioned, the whole authority of Rome collapsed. But just as important, the printing press had just been invented, and Luther became the most published author of his time, so that everybody knew about his ideas. England tried desperately to keep his books out of the country, but without success. And Luther's example of translating his books into ordinary spoken language meant that the Bible rapidly became available in all European languages. People had their own ideas about what it meant, and that was another blow to Rome. But alongside these things, the spiritual Reformation expanded into a movement for independence and social freedom. The German princes were delighted to get rid of Rome's taxes, and England followed suit. Martin Luther found himself overwhelmed by the pace of change. His theological reformation had become a social revolution. He was summoned to a church convocation at Worms, known to children's delight as the Diet of Worms, and he was required to renounce his ideas. He refused with the words, "Here I stand, I can do no other. God help me. Amen." There is no doubt that Luther would have been assassinated without the continuous resolute support of his followers, led by the Duke of Wittenberg. He was spirited away on the return journey from Worms to Wittenberg and hidden in a fortress where he was able to continue his work of translating the Bible into German. Now, this church community to which we belong stands in the Lutheran tradition. We are the United Reformed Church. That is why it is appropriate for us to celebrate the stand taken by Luther 500 years ago this month and to remind ourselves of the fundamental change which the Reformation brought about. Basically, the Roman Church, into which Luther was born, had privatized religion and the gospel. They sold vouchers called indulgences, which guaranteed accelerated access to heaven without the need of personal effort. And these were naturally very attractive to people who wanted spiritual guarantees, but were not particularly attracted by the religious life. And the church also taught that sponsoring church projects would help. So the keys of the kingdom of heaven belonged to the church, and they were extremely profitable. Salvation was not available for nothing. In private, many Christians and scholars did not believe in the power of indulgences, but in public, no one was yet prepared to say that the emperor had no clothes. It helps to understand the message of Luther if we follow his spiritual journey. He became a monk as a result of a near-death experience when he was nearly struck by lightning, and he devoted himself to fasting, physical testing, long hours of prayer, and frequent confessions. And the result of all that was a period of deep depression and despair. I did not learn my theology all at once, he said. I had to search deeper for it, where my temptations took me. Not understanding, reading, or speculation, but living with the sense of being damned made me a theologian. In his anguish, he read Paul's letter to the Romans and the words, "The just shall live by faith." And the word came to him as a revelation. They revealed to him the existence of a gracious God who freely offered his love. And in the face of that, the human effort to lay our hands on what God wants us to be and to do for us is not simply a source of despair. It is a contempt of God's grace. The attempt to make myself guiltless by my own goodness is actually a hatred of God's free gift. It puts me in opposition of the one who has pity on the wretched and raises the dead. Before that God, all human holiness based on my own skill and strength is an abomination. So, out of his anguish, Martin Luther found peace in the essence of the gospel, the proclamation that we are saved by faith in Christ and him alone. The teaching came to people as a gospel of human liberation. It was a message about a gracious God who freely offered his love. It burst open the doors of medieval Christianity. It set people free. Martin Luther's theology was the basis of the Protestant Reformation, the tradition which we belong to. It distanced itself from Catholic theology, mainly on the themes of where God's grace, how God's grace operates, what you can achieve by human effort, and what the saints can do for you. The Church of Luther's time divided Christians into priests who were spiritual, that's the priests, and temporal, that's you and me, all the rest. Luther rejected this division. All Christians had the same access to God. He also said that calling on the saints or asking for their help must not be done because the only peacemaker and intermediary between God and man was Jesus Christ. Given the extent to which the infrastructure of the church was at the time based around the saints and pilgrimages to their shrines, that was a very revolutionary idea. But all these things paled into insignificance with his fundamental insight. Faith is the gift of God. It is the acceptance of God's love. We cannot save ourselves, but the free grace of God frees us from a pointless search for our own salvation through our own efforts. Luther has a wonderful image of the effect on us of accepting God's love. He said, "It's like iron heated by fire. People who understand the eternal presence in a secured faith gets imbibed, absorbed, bathed in light and virtue. In the life of people of faith, good deeds are not ours," he said. "They are accomplished by divine energy through us." And that description of the effect of people on accepting God's love seems to me an appropriate way of talking about Luther himself. He was a great man. He was not a conventional man. He was not an easy man. He was passionate. He was angry. He was a hard drinker. I don't have his obituary, but I do have a statement from him about what his hopeful legacy would be, which will give you a flavor of the man. "When I die," he said, "I want to be a ghost, so that I can continue to pester the bishops, priests, and godless monks until they have more trouble with a dead Luther than they could have had before from 1,000 living ones." We join to sing, "We Come Unto Our Faithful God."
Thank you.
a prayer that we may think of the work of Luther as a sign that what we can do faced with great obstacles. O God, you have chosen the weak things of the world to confound the mighty. Shed forth continual day upon us who watch for you, that our lips may praise you, our life may bless you, and all our thoughts may glorify you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us pray to the faithful God who knows us already and loves us infinitely. Whatever our journey, O Lord, walk with us on the way. We pray for our world to be governed wisely and well, with proper consideration for the vulnerable and weak, with cooperation, honesty, and respect for all. When I say, whatever our journey, O Lord, will you respond, walk with us on the way. Whatever our journey, O Lord, we pray for the healing of hurts and tensions in our families and among our friends. We bless you for the blessings they give to us. As friends of Christ, may we be generous in our friendships. Whatever our journey, O Lord, walk with us on the way. In the light of the problems experienced by people with mental illness of all ages, but particularly children, we pray to God. We pray for those disturbed by mental illness and for all who are rejected and despised. We pray for all in desolate situations at the moment and ask for your comfort and healing. Whatever our journey, O Lord, walk with us on the way. We remember those of our members who are ill and those who have died within the last month. We remember those whose earthly life has ended, and for those grieving for loved ones. Enfold them with your love and let them become aware of you beside them. Whatever our journey, O Lord, we pray for our nation and the nations of the world, for the upholding of godly principles and just laws. We pray for reconciliation, peace, and mutual cooperation. Whatever our journey, O Lord, walk with us on the way. We praise you, Lord, and give you thanks for the fullness of the life you offer us, the free grace you offer us in Christ. Keep us renewed and filled with your Spirit. Whatever our journey, O Lord, walk with us on the way. Be a bright flame before me. Be a guiding star above me. Be a smooth path below me. Be a kindly shepherd behind me. Today, this week, and forever. Amen. We continue our worship as we receive our offering. Eternal God, we come with these gifts to offer the praise of our lips and the service of our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. In his spare time, Luther was a good musician, and he wrote a tune which we are now going to sing in German, Ein fester Berg, a stronghold, a safe stronghold.
Thank you.
May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us and remain with us always. Amen. As we leave, we say the grace to each other. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.